This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mid-Atlantic Outdoorsman Podcast. I'm your co-host, Michael Rebert. Deer season is officially here in the state of Maryland and is also kicking off across the country. Hopefully, those of you who have opened are getting after it. And for all you late openers, don't worry, your time is coming. In today's episode, Kevin and I are diving into a topic that every hunter can relate to: what's in your pack. We'll break down the essential gear we carry with us for our early season archery hunts, especially with a DIY or run and gun style approach. While every hunt and every hunter is different, we'll focus on the items that consistently make a difference for us in the field. Thanks for tuning in, and let's dive right into it. Mr. Creeley.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Can't complain.
Dude, I was just telling you, I just walked outside and there's leaves on the ground, dude. There's leaves on the ground.
I know. It's like actually fall. It's actually here.
I'm fixing to mess around and put like a flannel on get a coffee mug and like hold it like this, like white girls always do.
I wouldn't get that far. It was like 83 degrees here in Pennsylvania. It was hot.
Yeah, no, it's freaking probably about the same here. It's warm today. But we're getting there, dude. My buddy just texted me, shot a deer. So things are happening. Oh, yeah? He's in North Carolina. Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, North Carolina opened today, actually. They opened today. So I've been getting lots of Snapchats.
There's nothing better than getting an arrow bloody on opening day, man.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, my friend. Dude, I'm jacked. It feels like deer season because I already went deer hunting and killed a deer. But I actually have like 3 more weeks before I go deer hunting again. So
it's full-fledged deer season in this house, boy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I processed a deer today. Yeah. That's awesome. So my freezer's not hurting anymore. I got 17 pounds of burger, 6 pounds of sausage, and then the back straps off of that doe. So I was pretty pumped with that.
Yeah.
That's so, not bad.
I just don't have time. Like, as far as the processing things go, like with 3 kids, all of them in sports this time of year, and then trying to find the time to get in a tree and then work and all that stuff. It's so hard for me to dedicate an entire weekday, or I would say a weekend day, to grind up deer and make burger. As far as the other, like the further processing of things, like making bologna or, you know, like smoking, I like to smoke the shanks and make like kind of like a ham hock type of style thing with the deer shank. I do all kinds of other just like little projects as far as making bologna, snack sticks and stuff like that. The most time consuming part, I guess, would be to cut everything. No, I guess smoking meats and stuff, that's still pretty time consuming. But I guess the boring part of it is cutting everything up, grinding it, adding the fat, and then packaging it and all that stuff.
No, it's time consuming for sure. I mean, today even, I think it's just one deer. I only did one deer, you know. And I want to say I started around noon, and I wasn't done until 3 or so. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's time consuming. By the time you know, I had to run to the butcher, get fat, come back, get all my stuff out, giant cutting board, grinder, knives, sharpen the knives, cut the fat, measure the fat, measure everything. And then when you're done, it's just a giant mess. You know, it's just ground meat across the kitchen counter, in little chunks. And then you got to scrub everything down, take the grinder apart, clean the knives, clean the cutting board. You got to obviously vacuum seal all the meat. I label it and stuff. And then, so it's time consuming, but
it feels good though. It feels good to put
meat. Yeah, it's rewarding. It's rewarding for sure. I want to drop one off at the processor. I never have dropped a deer off at the processor, but I actually want to. I want to bring them a whole doe and just be like, I want your Mennonite's summer sausage recipe or whatever that was. And I'm going to be like, dude, make this whole dough into that. Like, I want this for a year.
That's an expensive. That is expensive.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really expensive. I've actually done it once to drop the whole dough off there and was like, hey, I want, because my son loves sweet bologna. Like, my wife packs him. So I got a 4-year-old and he, you know, goes to daycare and my wife packs him lunch every single day. And like one of his favorite things to open up his lunchbox and see is that freaking sweet bologna. And, I'll get a whole dough made into sweet bologna and it's expensive, man. Like I want to say the last time I did that, it was well over $300, you know, it was a big dough.
Sheesh.
And, you know, they don't mess around. But then when I was dropping the deer off there the other day, the 2 does that I harvested last week, they were saying how beef has gone up so much and it's like more and more people are bringing does in early season this year. Like they got more does this year or deer in general, this year on the opening week in Maryland than they ever have before, because more and more people are going out and trying to harvest deer because of the price of beef, which makes you know, total sense. But
Yeah, dude, I was at the firehouse yesterday. We made spaghetti and to feed 6 of us spaghetti, the meat was $34.
That's crazy.
For the meat.
Yeah.
Just the beef. That's not even the noodles and the sauce. If you think about that,
there's 5 of us in my house. I got 3 kids, my wife and myself. Yeah. So you add that up, you know, and spaghetti's a fairly cheap meal to make, you know, it's like,
oh, it should be
pretty cut. Yeah.
And this is getting way off topic, but I'll go rant for a second. And, we have like what we call a syndicate in the fire station. So like everybody puts up a certain amount of money. And then that's the money you have to go shopping with. And that's to cook lunch and dinner for the crew, plus pay for if we need coffee, if we need creamer, if we need whatever, you know, case of waters and stuff like that. And when I came in the fire department, it was like $7.50. And then it went to $10. And then it went to $12. And now it's $15. And like yesterday, it was $15. We did brats and tots for lunch and spaghetti for dinner. And we went over $5.
That sounds so like, good right now, dude. I'm so hungry.
Yeah, dude, I'm starving. Yeah. But my point is, those are cheap meals, right? Brats and tots and spaghetti, dude. Like, come on. And we went over. We were over $5 over our syndicate. Like, so we had to all come out of pocket an extra dollar to cover it. And it's just that's like, crazy. That's crazy, man. But yeah, dude, that sounds amazing. I am hungry. My wife's actually in there right now making some ground venison ravioli zesty marinara spinach casserole thing.
No, oh, she's a saint, man.
Oh, dude, it's gonna be so good.
That's awesome.
It's gonna be so good. She made some like orzo pasta bake 2 days ago, and it was so good. Had chicken sausage because we were out of deer burger, but now we're not. But man, that was fantastic.
You got to come up here and stay at my place for pretty much a week, not a whole week, 4 days, right? 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got 4 days. Nice, yeah,
home cooked meal every day,
dude. Your wife's throwing it down. That top two were the venison stuffed shells, and then what do you call the other one? The venison hash.
It's the venison. It's like a venison hash. It's made with venison sausage, breakfast sausage, and then it's like a hash brown casserole. It's got like eggs and hash browns, and it's all made into like a casserole with cheese melted on top. It's so good.
The cheese is like crunchy too, dude.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good, man.
Dude, I haven't eaten dinner yet, and we're getting off topic here talking about, so I'm about to
my mouth's watering.
Yeah.
Talking about this food. Sure. I haven't ate since like lunchtime, and it's almost 8 o'clock.
So but, maybe we should dive into what today's topic is, and as we already said in the intro, it's what's in your pack.
All right, let's do it. How do you want to start? You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Dude, I can go whenever, but I do got a question. I guess I want to ask you some questions about your pack because I kind of got a little idea, but I think it would be, you know, better off if I just asked you a question about your pack and see what you come up with. I think my biggest question for you right now is what are the top three items in your pack that you would never leave home without to go on an early season archery hunt?
Okay. Top three, definitely. And so are we skipping the obvious like necessities? Like I have to have a pull rope. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would say the obvious necessities. I would imagine that if you're going on an early season archery hunt, you have your bow in your hand and you got, you know, you got your boots and you got, you know, all the clothes.
Well, I mean, like pack items. Like, obviously, I'm going to have a pull rope, right? So I don't want to.
Right. Right.
Is that qualify? Or are we talking about like.
I'm talking about outside of three. This could be as comical as you want to make it, or this could be as serious as you want to make it. What are three things that you would not go on a hunt without?
Okay. All right.
It's a hard question. I thought about it too.
It is. Like, well, because like, all right, I'm going to answer it twice. This is tough. So here's why. So, like, answer number one is going to be, like, my bow hanger, my pull rope, and, like, a hook to – or something to hang my backpack on when I get up there, you know? Because, right, like, those are necessities, you know? Like, I can't set up in the tree. I could figure it out. I'd figure it out if I somehow forgot those things. Don't get me wrong. I'd hold the bow the whole time if I had to. You know what I mean? But
I wouldn't. Those are like not in the saddle. I wouldn't. No way.
But you'd figure it out though. You'd take a pull rope, dude, and you would like tie a clove hitch to your bridge and then like a drop loop and just hang your bow from it and be like, oh, I'll just unslip this overhand knot when the doe comes out. You'd figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm sure somebody listening to this has done this. I forgot my pull rope before hunting out of a climber with my black powder rifle. A Virginia listener, a North Carolina listener has definitely done this, what I'm about to say right now. And then you get to the tree that you're going to climb and you're like, how am I going to climb this tree without a pull rope? And I got this gun. And then you find a way to balance it on the top of the climber and hold it while you climb. So sketchy, dude.
It is sketchy. But, especially right, a black powder rifle.
I'm going to answer it.
Especially a black powder rifle, which is probably somewhat loaded. I mean, you probably don't have the primer in it, right? You know, but there's a bullet in the shoved down the barrel. Yeah. So it's
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to answer it a second time because those are like, I feel like that's a cheat. Like those are obvious. Like I need those, you know?
Yeah.
So three non-obvious necessities that I would not go on a hunt without. Man, it's a tough question. But like, you know, there's not really anything that I would say that's in my pack that I like absolutely need because like to kill a deer. Well, because I'm putting it to you this way. Like, to kill a deer, I need – I don't even need to be elevated. But let's say I am elevated. I need my bow. I don't even need a rangefinder. That's not a necessity necessarily because if the deer's in obvious top pin range, then I don't need a rangefinder. I'm wearing my release. So it's like, I don't know. That's a tough question. That's a tough
question. I would
give
you three things out of my pack that I think obviously not considering.
Oh, I got all one, toilet paper.
That is like number one, dude. Like you need toilet paper. If you are a, any type of hunter and you leave without toilet paper, man, especially if you go on a morning hunt, just had your coffee, maybe a little Debbie from the you're asking for
you know
it.
I'm bad. You know you've hunted with me now, so I've you hunted know with how bad you now. I am on morning hunts.
It flows out of you like a fountain, dude.
Oh man.
Now, but I would say, and this is just me, headlamp. Or some sort of flashlight, right? You need that. An extra release, okay? And we're talking archery here, early season archery hunt or any type of archery hunt. An extra release is pretty crucial. And then any type of knife or multi-tool. A multi-tool would be great to have, but definitely need a knife. I mean, that was my first question. But we can dive right into like your specific pack and what you have in it and you know, what you prefer to carry and all that other gear, you know, nerd gear stuff.
Yeah. All right. So first of all, I want to start by saying I'm getting ready to buy a new pack. So that's exciting. I'm pack shopping. I've had the same backpack that I've deer hunted with for like 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think Realtree makes it maybe. Or Field and Stream. Yeah, it's a Field and Stream backpack. And I've had it for like 12 years. It's ripping in several places. But that thing's awesome. It's killed a lot of deer, you know?
Yeah.
And a tiny little backpack. And I've got, it's going to be almost, it's going to be kind of weird. It's going to be like moving houses, you know, once I get a new pack. Because I know where everything is in the dark, blindfolded, upside down in that pack. Because I've put the same items in the same location in that pack for the last.
It's like getting a new wallet. It's like getting a new wallet.
It screws you all up.
It screws you all up.
Yeah, exactly. So like I've always got like it's a tiny zipper pouch in the front and like in there, I'll just start kind of laying it out. In there, obviously I have a bow hanger, right? If I'm on private ground, it's a thread in one. If I'm on like a piece of public that requires you to use the strap on one, then I have one that like buckles and cinches. I need a better one. I don't really love the one that I have. I kind of hate it, honestly, but it does get the job done.
I feel your pain.
And then I have just like the little, I think Muddy makes them, the little black accessory hooks. I'm sure a bunch of companies make them, but the little black accessory like thread in hooks, I would carry those like again on private ground or public ground that permits it. And I'll just have like four or five of those in there because I lose them periodically throughout the season. Usually only need one or two per hunt, but I always have those. I always have the little accessory hooks. Like you can hang stuff on. It's just convenient, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then what else do I have in that front pocket? I always have a little canister of milkweed. That's clutch.
I did notice that. Yeah.
I always have that and it's cheap. It's like, I mean, you can get it in the wild. Like it grows in like areas that receive a lot of sunlight, like on power lines and stuff like that. And you can find it, but it's just easy enough to order a $7 can that always lasts me the whole season, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it comes with a little dispenser. It's nice. It's like a
little hole.
Guys
are
watching
it.
The video. Yeah. It's like a tissue box, you know, you pull it up and it just threads out or whatever. And, that's really nice to have, especially bow hunting. Because you know how it is. Like it's so tree specific when especially if you're hunting like a heavily used trail or something, you could be 12 feet off and all the deer that come in wind you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's nice. I'll sit there and throw it for 10 minutes while I'm picking a tree. It's almost obsessive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same exact way, man. Specifically on that hunt, that last evening hunt that you were up here with, when I walked in the woods, I was standing in the open timber for 30 minutes in one spot, just down on one knee, just throwing milkweed up in the air. Well, this is burnweed, American burnweed, same concept. Throwing it up in the air.
To my point, you actually picked that off of the power line, didn't you?
I did. I picked it off the power line. Yeah. There's just these little pods and there's just tons of little white cotton-like fibers in it. And you can just break them open and pull them out and throw them up in the air. And they'll drift real good. I wouldn't say they drift as good as milkweed, but still, if you don't have anything. I usually carry a powder, like a powder bottle, which in the past is nice. And, you know, it's nice to know your exact wind direction like right away, but it doesn't show you the drift of the,
you can't see what it does
for 50 yards. You. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's nice to know that the wind's going this way. Okay. And you just keep going, keep getting it. But it is nice to have.
Milkweed's definitely superior to the puff bottle.
But yeah, sat on my knee for like 30 minutes, just thinking, you know, like, okay, well, if I sit in this tree, then there's this situation. So yeah, milkweed, 100%, I would say, is an awesome thing to have in your pack.
Mm-hmm. That's it for my little front pocket. That's a tiny little pocket on my current backpack. So I don't fit a lot of items in there. Right. Most backpacks have like two cup holders on the side, you know, bottle holders, whatever you call it. And in one of those is always where I've stashed the pull rope. I don't know why. That's just where it's always gone. It's never fallen out or anything. And that's where I keep my pull rope. I keep like 35 feet. I don't never really need that much. You know, I'm usually 18 to 20 feet up a tree at most. Sometimes I'm like 12 foot up a tree, but it's nice to have a ton of paracord on you. You never know when you're going to need a couple feet of paracord. And of course, there's a knife in my pack so I can cut it if I need to use it or whatever. So paracord, that's another thing that's in the pack. And then going into what I call like the toolbox, it's the middle small compartment, not the biggest compartment, but like the middle compartment. I kind of call it the toolbox. And that's where all my like, oh, here it goes. Oh, you muted.
I'm muted for so cracking I can open the beer, up my beer. Dude. Yes. Yeah.
Dude, we could have all appreciated
it. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Anyway, so like what I would call the toolbox part of the backpack. Limb saw. Gotta have a limb saw. And I used to always carry pruners. And then I switched to a limb saw. And I like it way better. The ratcheting pruners are sweet. And I still prefer ratcheting pruners for a turkey vest. But for deer hunting, a limb saw is the ticket. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially
turkey in your turkey vest, you know, pruners, you're really only cutting small stuff, right? Yep. And then it's like everything's super fresh, right? Especially if it's on the ground. Like it's a limb saw, it's going to be kind of hard to like, cause it's like all flexy and stuff. So, exactly. Yeah.
It's usually just like some greenbrier vine or something that's blocking a shooting lane real quick. Yeah. Or I'll clip like a couple saplings and jam them in the ground in front of me. So I have cover and that's it. Yeah. That's like all I'll use it for. But anyway, limb saw. Next in that pouch is a knife. Always have a knife. I mean, you shouldn't go in the woods, whether you're hunting or not, without a knife, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You should just have a knife. You should just carry a knife every day if you're a grown man also. But
right.
Let's see. What else is in that pack? Oh, flashlight. I have to keep a rechargeable tracking light in there. That thing's awesome. I think I got it for $50 at Tractor Supply a few years ago. And it's just always on my dashboard charging, like in between hunts. Along with my headlamp. They just sit on my dashboard and charge. And when I hop out of the truck, they go in the same pocket that they've always gone in the pack right there. Let's see. What else is in there? I got to think for a second. There's another tool in there that's important. Oh, I used to keep like almost a whole first aid kit, but it was a little bit excessive. And this might be because I'm a medic. It was a little bit excessive. So then it went down to just like what I have now, which is a cat tourniquet, which is just like a regular twist tourniquet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like in my head, like if I take a broadhead
right
to an artery in my leg or something, dude, and I'm a mile from the truck.
I think about that all the time. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I actually heard like a horror story about that, of a guy who was walking. I don't even know if he was dragging an animal out, or I think he was just walking in like some really tall brush and like stepped over a log. And it wasn't even his own broadhead. It wasn't even his own arrow. It was just an arrow that some other hunter may have dropped on the ground. And he took a broadhead through the quad.
Oh my God.
As he like was stepping. And that story's kind of always stuck with me, because I think about that now. Just like, man, if you are out there and you take especially by yourself on like a DIY hunt, and you take a broadhead to the leg, like you're going to wish, you're going to pray that you had something to slow the bleeding. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Like a tourniquet would be money. So that's a really smart thing.
Tourniquet's clutch.
Yeah.
By the way, in case you don't know, for any listeners that don't know, all the old school science of, and this is just the medic in me coming out for a second, all the old school science of, oh, if you leave a tourniquet on for more than 4.5 hours, you're going to lose that limb at the hospital. That has been completely debunked. You can leave that sucker on there for 2 days, and there's going to be some cell deterioration, but you're fine. You're going to be fine.
It's better use than the tourniquet. Dying. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're like $5 on Amazon. You get like a 3-pack of them, little plastic twist top tourniquets. And
I'm going to order
one. Thing I keep.
I'm going to order one right now while we're on the podcast.
It's a good thing to have. Could literally save your life, you know?
Yeah, literally.
Then I just keep some little bit of 4x4 gauze behind that, and then just a couple of Band-Aids. And that's all I keep now, first aid wise. I used to have way too much stuff, but I keep that now. Just enough to stop an immediate bleed. You know, I can get back to the truck, get back to somewhere safe, and then I can patch it up appropriately, whatever it is, you know, avoid infection and put ointment on it and all that good stuff. But I just, the bare minimum, in my opinion, is gauze, tourniquet, couple Band-Aids, you know?
Right.
And that's what I keep. Let's think. In the tool pouch, what else is in there? I think there's one more item. I said headlamp,
I know you carry a hefty amount of straps with you.
Yeah, that's fixing the change. I carried your bag. Soon.
Yeah, I carried your bag for a day. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah,
that the amount heavy, of straps, man. Yeah.
That's fixing to change. We'll talk about that. We'll get into that. And then after that, in the main pouch is just all my anything I need to climb that's not already strapped to the pack. So like a step aider with my hang on setup. We'll just dive into it. With my hang on setup, which I've used for the past few years, it's a mobile hang on. It's a XOP Vanish, I think, is the platform, and the X2 sticks. I've been running those for a few years. It's a sweet setup. I really have enjoyed that setup. I've got the 6 cam buckle straps. So 2 for the platform, 1 for each stick. And then I have a 3-step webbing aider. And all that stuff just goes in the main compartment. It just like I kind of half wind it up and then throw it down in there. So it's somewhat organized. And it's usually straps at the bottom, aider on top, lineman's belt on top of that. And I've got all that in the back of the pack. And then there's one more like back pouch in there. And in there, I usually keep like a beanie, a face mask, some gloves or something like that. And then that's also where I keep toilet paper, which is the most important item in your pack.
For sure.
And then usually a bottle of water. Bottle of water's a must have. I'm always thirsty by the time I get to the tree. You know, you hike in and then you're freaking thirsty. So
Right.
And I leave some space for snacks and stuff. I don't do much snacking in the early season because my hunts are usually between 2 and 4 hours, you know?
Right.
So they're not really long enough to warrant snacks. But as we approach the rut, there's definitely snacks in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that's about it, man. So I usually take that pack with my hang-on setup. What I do is the XOP Vanish, it's got a seat that folds up. And I'll take the pack and I'll set it on the Vanish seat like a shelf, and then I take my lineman's belt and I go around it, and it's got the Ropeman Ascender, which is like a grab claw, and I'll click the carabiners around the backpack together and then just cinch the lineman's belt down. And I'm already carrying that thing in the woods anyway, the lineman's belt, that way I don't need like gear straps, you know?
Right.
And that holds the whole setup together, and then that's what I carry in the woods. However, I'm going to make a change soon, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about your pack first, and then we can get into that.
Okay.
So, I want to say that's about it. That's pretty much what I carry into the woods on an early season bow hunt.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the bug situation, because I know we're very different on that topic. You usually treat your clothes with some type of chemical, or I didn't really get too much of that. I'm very used to carrying a thermocell. Some hunters are against it. I never really had any negative experiences other than the fact that sometimes it makes me feel dizzy if I'm sitting too close to it. But but I've never really had a negative experience. In the early season, especially in Maryland, you saw where we were hunting. It's a lot of swamp, bottoms and stuff like that. Mosquitoes can be a terror on your hunt. So what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, so it's situationally dependent for me. This is not situationally dependent. Always before mid-October, anytime before mid-October, my clothes are treated in Sawyer's permethrin. And that is, you should do that. You should definitely do that. And permethrin it's odor free, at least to humans. I don't know if it's odor free to deer. I don't care. I'm going to use it. And you spray it all over your clothes when they're not on your body in a well-ventilated area. And then you just let it dry. You hang them up. I always just hang them up over my fence in the backyard. Let them sit in the sun for like 2 hours. And then that actually treats the clothes for 6 weeks. The stuff is awesome. And I mean, you won't get a tick. And where I hunt, it's loaded with ticks. To your point, there really was not a lot of ticks. You told me that coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And there actually was not a lot of ticks in Maryland. I didn't even hardly see any on the deer we had killed. But I always treat my clothes in permethrin. Permethrin is a must-have, especially like summertime scouting and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another product that Sawyer makes, same company. It's an awesome company called Picaridin. And that one is mosquito repellent. The permethrin does not really offer much for mosquitoes. But I'll say about permethrin, I've tried several different insect repellents that advertise and claim that they repel ticks from several different brands, and none of it has worked. The only one that works is permethrin. And you don't have to get Sawyer's. That's just the company that I use because it comes pre-mixed, which is nice. My buddy Caleb buys it in a gallon of the solution of permethrin, and then he mixes it and dilutes it himself, which is probably way more bang for the buck. I'm just more of a convenience grab. I'll get that 32 ounce pre-mixed thing for, I think it's $15, and it lasts me the whole season, you know? And then back to Picaridin. That is the best mosquito repellent that I've ever used. It comes in a blue aerosol can, and it's awesome. Same situation, spray it on your clothes. That one you actually can spray on skin, I think. I don't, but I think it advertises that you can. I just spray it all over my clothes, whether I'm wearing it or not. And then they also make a lotion, and that stuff is the ticket.
Really?
When I'm Sika deer hunting, that is the worst mosquitoes I've ever seen in my entire life. That's worse than I've turkey hunted in the deep south Alabama swamp at the Florida line, and the mosquitoes there were bad. Don't get me wrong. But the mosquitoes where we seek a deer hunt are horrible. It's nuts. So when I go there, clothes get treated in permethrin, treated in Picaridin, and then I take the Picaridin lotion and I put it on the back of my hands, forehead, cheeks, nose, anywhere that's going to be uncovered. And then on top of that, I wear a long sleeve shirt, a leafy jacket, a neck gaiter that's like mesh, not like a regular buff face mask, like one that has a pull tie so it can cinch tight to your face. I wear one of those, and then I put the lotion on underneath that because they will bite you through two layers. They're so brutal. And, right. And I will also carry a thermocell. Anywhere else, I don't really carry the thermocell because the insect repellent itself will do the job most of the time, but not there. Those mosquitoes are bred in a lab or something, dude. They are brutal.
So you don't, so I guess to touch back on my topic is you don't really use a thermocell in the early season?
No, not too often.
Mm-mm. Interesting.
No, I have a couple of times, but man, I'm telling you, that Picaridin, you try it, dude. It works so good. You don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And one could argue like, oh, well, it has an odor. Well, like, okay, but so does a thermocell. And like,
well, I've always wondered, because if you've ever hunted with a thermocell, you'll know that they kind of have like a smoky effect that comes off of them. You know, especially if you get a brand new, fresh, like whatever those little loading little blue pads that you slide in there. If it's a brand new, fresh one that's still kind of moist or whatever, and you fire that thing up within a couple minutes, it's going to be like smoking. And it's a great wind indicator. But I always wondered, like, man, did the deer not see that? Because I feel like they would see that, you know. I never really had a negative experience with it. I think I may have one experience on an opening day a couple years ago where it was smoking and a deer kind of looked up at me in my tree and was like, you know, kind of, I could tell just by her body language, she was like thinking maybe like, what is that? You know, and then she just kind of went on about her business. But yeah, that smoky effect that kind of comes off of the thermocell has always concerned me. I didn't know if that was something that you utilized or what, but.
Man, I'll tell you, I used to carry a thermocell more. And to your point of what you said earlier, it bothers me, the smoke.
Yes.
You know, I'm usually sitting with the wind in my face. So if I put the thermocell behind me, well, then it's not really doing me a lot, you know, because the wave is going behind me. But if I put it in front of me, it's hitting me in the face with that warm.
Or you could just be in a hunt where you have very, very low wind and it's more or less just thermal pools here and there. And then you just have the smoke kind of lingering around you. And to your point, on the opening day when I was hunting in Maryland, I think we had talked after I harvested my doe and I was like, man, I think that thermocell kind of did something to me. Like it made me feel some type of way. And I think we were both like, yeah, it can't be good for you nonetheless.
It can't be, right? But what was I saying? Oh, I clipped it on my waist belt of my turkey vest one time on a hunt down south, and I had it running while we were running and gunning, and it was just hitting me in the face all day. I felt like every time I would stop to listen or call, I was just all I could smell, and I was like, "This bugging me." And I tried moving it to separate positions, and I just did not like it. I ended up just turning it off. I was almost like, "Yeah, I'd almost rather get bit by a couple mosquitoes than deal with this," you know? So I'm not a big thermocell fan, really, personally, but. Let's get into your pack. What do we got in that thing?
Well, one thing I did notice about my pack compared to yours when you were up here hunting is I think I got more storage going on with my pack. I have a newer, I guess, Field and Stream pack. And I'll tell you what we do need. We need some nice, like, tethered packs or something fancy, dude, because we're both rocking some old school stuff. And my pack is a Field and Stream. I think I picked it up for, I don't know, less than $100 a couple, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It's not just like your average backpack. It's got a lot of storage. It's got like a little thing that clips and then folds down. And then you got all these little tiny like zippers and compartments that you can put small items in. And if I would have to say, as far as an early season hunt, my pack is very similar to yours. I mean, I'm going to have toilet paper for sure. I'm going to have I do carry my thermocell. One thing that I noticed that you didn't say, and you probably do carry this, and you just didn't name it, but I carry an extra release with me all the time.
Oh, I do. I do actually carry an extra release.
In archery season, like ever lost your release in the field, it's probably the worst feeling.
Not just that, but I can recall a hunt. I might have told you this story, but I'm sure the listeners haven't heard it. Where I was sitting, I was hunting a bean field. It's early season, and I was playing. You know, you'll sit there and play with your release in your hand, and you'll just like click. Maybe not you because you have a hinge, but I'll sit there and like because I wear a trigger release. So I'll sit there and activate and deactivate the locking mechanism over and over, and just flick it in my hand because I'm bored or whatever. And I was doing that, and it felt odd. And I was like, what is going on? And I look down and I have the Spot Hog Wise Guy. That's the roof release I have. And it has two set screws in the top of the head, two tiny little Allen key set screws. And one of them was missing. And the face plate was like lifted. And I was like, oh my God. You know, I was like, is this thing going to like
blow up in my
discharge?
Face?
Yeah. Is it just going to discharge when I go to draw? So I locked it. And then, put it on the D loop and was sitting there like so scared, but I was like, I have to practice draw, you know?
Right.
And I did it and it ended up being fine, but it was really sketchy. And then I emailed them and they actually sent me a whole new release. I told them, I was like, hey, I just need you to send me a set screw.
That's like, awesome.
Oh, here's a new release. And they gave me a new release. I was like, wow, shout out to Spot Hog. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But that's, what we need that's how I ended up with a secondary release. And I put one in, now I have an extra one in the backpack. And I just keep it in there. And if I forget it, if the other one breaks or whatever, I have it, you know?
So I carry a various amount of packs in the woods. I'll carry my backpack. And even if there's not a whole lot in my backpack for that specific hunt, I carry it with me anyway, just because it carries like some crucial gear that I need. But sometimes I'll carry my backpack all the time. But sometimes if it's cold, or if it's just a colder evening, I'll have like an extra layers in there, or where I put my jacket in there, or, you know, some heavier pants or an extra pair of socks, or something like that. So that's why it's nice to have like a bigger pack. And then with my pack, I also carry the gear that I, you know, absolutely need, like my one stick. Okay. So if I'm doing a run and gun style hunt, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be using the saddle setup, and I'll have my one stick. And, so let's just get into that. I guess my one stick, if you guys aren't familiar with one sticking, is a way to climb the tree with just one stick. And there's a couple pieces of gear that you kind of need with a one stick to make it work. First off, you don't, I guess, need this, but it's definitely helpful to have. You need at least a 2 or 3 step aider that drops down off the bottom of your stick. Another thing that's nice to have is either if you're running the cam style systems, as Kevin spoke about on his sticks, like the cam style where you wrap the straps around. It's not nice. It's not efficient to have a system where you have to constantly like ratchet or slide, pull through. What are your straps called again, I guess, on your sticks? Like, what do you call them?
I think that I call them cinch straps. They might be called cam buckle straps.
Yeah, they're like cinch straps where you got to press a button to unloosen them and all that stuff. And then you got on a one stick, I've noticed that a lot of guys will either run like a very small diameter am steel rope, and then like the little cam where they wrap it around there. But the most popular one, I would say, out of your average one stick hunters is a cam cleat. Which is basically like a piece of marine gear. And it's just like the rope slides through it, and the cams, there's two little cams that have like teeth on it that lock down on the rope. And then it's very easy to undo and disconnect or reconnect. It makes the whole climbing, much more efficient. And then on the top of my one stick is a 6-inch by 8-inch platform. Now, it's not the best system in the world. I will say there's been times where I'm sitting up there and I'm very uncomfortable. But it's more or less like a 4 or 5 hour hunt maximum system. I would not want to go over 5 hours. After 4.5 hours, I'm like, all right, I am so ready to get down from this thing.
Yeah.
But I would say it is very efficient. I killed a lot of deer using a one stick. It's super lightweight, and it is easy to climb pretty much any tree. It has all the perks of carrying 3 or 4 sticks with you, but it's just one stick. So,
right.
That is the number one thing that's in my pack, and I strap that right to the outside. Inside of my pack is also the other most important piece of gear, and that is my 35-foot climbing rope. Now, a lot of different hunters use different diameter climbing ropes. I use a regular, I don't even want to talk about what the diameter of my climbing rope is, because I have no idea and I don't really care. It's just what I've been using forever.
Yeah.
And it also acts as my tether and my repelling rope while I'm one sticking. With that climbing rope, if you're familiar with one sticking, you need a piece of rappel gear to get back down out of the tree. I use a Petzl Grigri, but it's basically your safety device and also your repelling device. But it's much like the Madrock Safeguard, which is another piece of gear that you use to rappel out of the tree. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you need your carabiners to attach your Madrock Safeguard to, or I'm sorry, not your Madrock, but your Petzl Grigri. You use a carabiner to click into your bridge on your saddle. And then I have in my pack a little piece of rope that I use as my lineman's belt for trees that have multiple limbs. If I'm not going up a straight trunk tree, I'll need to get around limbs, and that's why I'll carry an extra piece of rope as my lineman's belt.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a one sticker, you also know that paracord hoist rope slash, it also acts as a retrieval rope. So you basically tie it to your side I tie it to my saddle on the way up. And when I get into the tree, the first thing I'll do is I'll tie it to my loop on my tether or my rappel rope. And I pull my bow up, I get everything set up, and then on my way back down, whenever I'm done hunting, I need that rope to be attached to that loop on my tether to be able to retrieve all of my my ropes, you know, because it's cinched in the tree. So it's tied right. Tied to the loop. And when you get down, you pull your rappel rope, it loosens everything up. And if it's a straight tree, the whole rope will just fall straight to the base of the tree and you pack everything up. If it's a tree with multiple limbs, you got to pull everything. You basically just keep pulling and it'll pull the tag end. Is that what you would call it? A tag end? Tag it through.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Through the loop and then everything falls again and you wrap everything up. As far as my pack and everything that's in my pack, obviously toilet paper, because we use that multiple times when you were up here. I do carry a thermocell. I'll have my bow hangers, which could be, if I'm on private, obviously the screw-in bow hanger is the most ideal to have. It's the easiest to set up. It's the quietest to set up. So I'll have my screw-in bow hangers. I do also have a ratchet strap, and I'll carry like a little S hook that I'll basically just use a ratchet strap and an S hook, and that's what I'll use to hold my bow. But very rarely do I need to use that on private land. Mostly it's just your screwing, you know, stuff. Or I'll find a way to hang a bow on a broken limb or something on a tree. I'll utilize whatever I can. And then I've, of course, other small hooks for hanging bags or quivers. And, you know, sometimes if it's ideal, I'll hang my quiver from my actual bow hook. Like if it's a screw and bow hook, I have the trophy ridge. I think I noticed you did too. The trophy ridge has the little rope that hangs off the top of the quiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's clutch. Super convenient, man. That's like a clutch move. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, it looks kind of corny. But then I was like, I could really get used to this. This is great. You know, like it's when you, it's great to have to hang off of, you know, your bow. If you're using this screw.
If you have like a thread in bow arm, you can literally just thread the bow arm in, and then slide the quiver all the way down to the end of it and then hang the bow on the far
end. That's exactly what I do. So in my pack, I also carry a knife. Got to have a knife. Sometimes I'll carry that on my side. It's not really in my pack, or I'll carry it in my pocket or something like that. I don't get fancy with my knives. I don't have I just have a pocket knife, a good sharp pocket knife. And I can literally gut a deer with a broadhead if I need to, a good sharp broadhead. In the early season, I find having a face mask super critical. I don't know about you, but I use a face mask all the time just because, first off, keeps the mosquitoes off your face if you're not using some type of bug repellent or a thermocell. Having a face mask is great. I can deal with the bugs flying around my face, but as soon as they start touching me and getting, you know, then I don't like that. That bothers me.
Yeah, not to mention too, a lot of times in the early season you're hunting a food source, and not only that, but you're hunting deer that aren't actively breeding, and they're paying a ton of attention. They're coming in weary. They're not blazing through the woods, chasing, grunting, going ape shit, like where you can get away with a lot more. They are typically slowly meandering in, looking around, checking their surroundings,
staying around slow. For a long time. Like they're usually there for a while. If they're coming in, you're not a food source, they're going to be there for a long time.
Yeah, like the other night we were hunting that oak flat and had that doe hang out with us for like 2.5 hours with her fawns, you know. So yeah, I don't know. Face mask gives you a little bit more concealment, you know?
It does. It just makes you feel a certain way, especially if they're right underneath you and they're looking at you. It's like, oh, you ain't got me. There's no way you got
me. Yeah, you can't see my face.
You can't see my face. And they'll just stick around for a while, walk around.
Dude, let me ask you an unrelated, unrelated topic on that note. Do you, a deer comes real close to your tree, sub 10 yards, right? And they look up at you and you know they're looking at you. Like they're clearly trying to figure out what that blob is in the tree right there, right? This might be a superstition thing. Maybe there's science to it. I don't know. I do it though. I'm curious if you do it. Do you continue to look at the deer or do you look away from the deer?
I'll do one of two things. If they're already staring at me and I'm making eye contact with them, I'll close my eyes.
Okay.
I'll just completely close my eyes, especially if they're close, like real close. It's like I'm going to hear them walk away, you know? but I'd rather them not bust me. So I'll just close I'll just completely close my eyes and act like they're, and try to act like they're not there.
That's pretty good.
Or
I'll just, glance off at the forest floor.
Oh yeah. Or I'll just look away. But I, the one thing I don't want them to see is like the whites of my eyes.
Moving. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. Moving or anything like that, because they're going to pick up on, deer can pick up on movement so well. A lot of people don't know that. They can't see extremely well. I've heard that they see in 2D, and that'd be like something for a biologist to answer before. But
yeah, I've heard they don't see detail extremely well, but they see movement.
Yeah, they see movement. They can pick up movement super, you know, super well. So I try not to move my eyes much at all, if any. I'll just close them, you know. I won't sit there and stare back at them, that's for sure. Staring right back into their eyes, like, it's just... They are natural, like they're animals. They know what eyes look like, you know.
Yeah, so, they're prey animals, and predator animals have forward facing eyes like us. So there's something, might be something to be said about that. You know, most prey animals have eyes on the side of their face like a deer, and predator animals have forward facing eyes like a coyote. You know.
Yeah, and for the most part, if you ever notice, there's some in the early season, a doe might smell you, or smell something's wrong in the area. But she'll stick around because now she's trying to confirm it, you know, like she'll, I smell something.
Especially if she's got fawns.
If she's got fawns, she's like, I smell something. Something's off up here, but I'm going to go investigate now. And those are the periods of time where it's almost impossible to pull a shot off. It's not like you could pull your bow off of your hook and shoot her, because as soon as she sees you move, man, she is going
to wrap.
She's going to run 40 yards away, stand on top of the hill, and she's just going to blow her brains out. And tell every deer in the woods that you're there. So, and that literally happened to me the other night. But to my point, if a deer is staring at you, or comes in, a mature doe, specifically a mature doe with fawns, she comes in to investigate, and she has you pinned as far as scent. They might walk around the tree 2, 3, 4 times, go away, come back. Do not move, because if she catches you moving, it's a wrap. It's game over. I know you carry a bino harness with you, Kevin. I noticed.
I do. I wear a chest harness.
And is
that's
anything...
where my binos? Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you: is there anything different in your bino harness that you don't normally carry in your pack? I think you touched on like the milkweed and stuff like that. As far as wind indicators, that's something that I've always carried in my bino harness. Also, I mentioned like a spare release. A lot of times I'll carry a spare release in my bino harness, because I got a bino harness. I think yours is very similar. It's magnetized, it's waterproof, and it has, I have two pouches, and I can move the pouches around and put my rangefinder on one side. And on the other side, I'll have a little spot where I can put an extra release or some wind indicator. But I know that the, bino harnesses are different. Some packs have like the little storage underneath of the harness. How does yours line up?
So it's the I think it's called FHF Gear, I think is the brand that it is, and it's like a forward opening magnet that kind of folds up. It's really sweet. I love that bino harness. And then same thing on the side. And on the side is where my rangefinder goes, and in the center is obviously where the binoculars go.
And then do you have your rangefinder on your shooting side, like, so your right hand?
Right hand, yep.
Yep.
Right hand's where the rangefinder is, so I can just kind of quick draw it, you know? And then the binos are in the main pocket. The back, there's like a mesh pocket, like, that touches my chest. And actually, that's usually where I keep my phone, because I hate trying to get in my pants pocket to get my phone out, you know? So my phone's usually right there, because I can just go like this and then just slip it right back in there, you know?
Yeah.
And then on the left side, there's a small call pocket. There's actually two. There's a mouth call pocket for like elk hunting, turkey hunting, whatever. And then there's a call pocket you could fit like almost any call in. That one stays empty till late October. Then a grunt tube makes its way in there. But in the mouth call pocket, I always have a turkey call. There's always a turkey call in there. And for obvious reasons during turkey season, but during deer season, I'll actually use the turkey call sometimes for access. Like, I'll just pop it in. I mean, you've heard me call. I can call pretty good. Not to toot my own horn. And I'll just cluck and purr and scratch my way to a spot. If I'm walking through like a ton of hardwoods where I'm like, there's a 0% chance a deer's not going to hear me walking through here if they're bedded up on that ridge, you know? Mm-hmm. But I want to get in here. So how can I sound like the woods? I'll just throw my mouth call in and just as I walk through, and I'll just occasionally just stop and scratch leaves with my boot. And I'm hoping, I don't know if it works, but I'm hoping they're laying up there and just think, oh, just a hen meandering on through the oak flat. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they don't think anything of it. And so, and obviously turkeys aren't, I mean, deer aren't bothered by turkeys. I sent you a trail camera picture today on my wife's food plot of a deer and a handful of hens just hanging out, you know?
Yep.
So they're not too bothered by one another. And that's it for the bino harness. One other thing I didn't mention was, come November, I leave room in the pack for rattling antlers, whether I can strap them to the outside or to the inside. I'm love rattling. I rattle my brains out in November, dude. So I always carry a set of horns, and I don't like rattle bags. I don't like the little pucks. None of that stuff sounds like deer fighting, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess people kill deer with them because they keep selling them. But me personally, I'm carrying antlers.
Hmm. I know that, there's a piece of essential gear that I kind of forgot about. And I know a lot of people probably put the same stuff that I use for this into their saddles or other things, but I'll carry like a fanny pack with me. And mm-hmm. you probably noticed that whenever you're up here hunting, I carry a fanny pack, and in my fanny pack, I'll carry, if it's during the rut, I'll have my grunt tube there, but it's literally right on my waist, and I can even wear my saddle with it. So like, it doesn't get in the way of anything. But it's literally on my waist. And since I shoot a hinge release, my hinge actually will go right into the front pocket of that fanny pack. So if I see a deer coming, I have immediate access to it. It's right there.
Nice.
And then I'll also carry my hoist rope. I'll carry my license. That's where I'll put my phone while I'm hunting, so I can slide it in and out whenever I want to text somebody or take pictures. It's like right there on me. And then I also, what else do I carry in that thing? I think that's pretty much it. But to my point back when I was talking about the spare release that I carry, you were saying, oh, well, you carry a hinge. My spare release is a button release. So a thumb button release. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just because, I don't know, I feel like if I'm going to use, I can shoot both very well. And, I guess it's situational, you know, like if I feel like a button release is going to be most ideal for the situation or the setup or whatnot, then I'll use the button release. But I would say 10 times out of 10 for the most part, unless something went wrong, like my release broke or I dropped it or whatever, I'm going to use the hinge release.
Right. Yeah. You're pretty slick with that thing. Is there anything else in your main pack that we didn't cover? I kind of cut you off a little bit while ago.
No, man, I think we got it. Toilet paper, thermosel, bow hanger, other miscellaneous screws. I got my knife, my face mask. We talked about my one stick. But I think the most important part about all this is that, like, it also depends on just the specific hunt that you're going on. Like, there might be some hunts during the rut where I might use a climber, you know, or I have a pre-hung set, and all that stuff might change. I think we kind of focused this whole podcast around like a run and gun style hunt, like we did over the past week you were here. And, I think that's kind of what I have for that. Like, I got my one stick, got my ropes.
Minimalistic.
The most important piece of gear, if you're saddle hunting, I think if you're going to sit for 4 or 5 hours, is your back band. Right. Like, you don't want to sit up there and not have a back band. It sucks. Like, because your back band is kind of like your reclining system. It goes around the lower part of your back. You can move it up as much as you want. You can lower it down as much as you want. You can literally put it all the way up at the top of your torso. And like, that's basically your reclining system. It acts as your reclining system. It goes around your waist. It clips into your, with your bridge into your Mad Rock or your Grigri or whatever you're using. And that acts like you're reclining. So you can literally just relax your whole upper body without it, you know, feeling like it's getting fatigued or whatever.
Yeah. Makes sense. Man, I had a season, actually it was last season, I think. I don't know. I had a season where I tried to make a change and I was tired of carrying a backpack. and I switched to carrying just a fanny pack. I bought like a, I can't remember what brand it is.
One second. I don't mean to cut you off. I don't want to cut you off. Cheers, nice. Everybody.
I bought a pretty sweet, like tactical little fanny pack, you know, and the thing was sweet. It fit almost everything that I just listed, with the exception of like, obviously if I'm bringing camera gear or something, that's not going to fit in a fanny pack, but I had this fanny pack and it fit just about everything. I've got a stubby bow hanger. It's a small one that fit in there, all my hooks, my milkweed, and it was extremely organized and it folded forward instead of like zipping and then having to press the pouch open and reach down inside like most fanny packs.
Right.
It zipped like this and then it folded forward and you had storage on the front face and then you had storage in the back and then it had side pockets. It's pretty big, not that big. Probably like, I mean, listeners can't see this, but probably like this big. And that thing was sweet. I actually really enjoyed having just a fanny pack. I felt free. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you're making a sacrifice. It's minimalistic. It's nice. When we seek a deer hunt and we're running a gun and ground hunting, a lot of times I'll still bust out the old fanny pack, but for the most part, it's a backpack. But with that being said, I'm about to make a massive change to my setup because I'm ordering my first ever saddle.
So you came up here to Maryland for 4 days and watched me saddle hunt the entire time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And after what, day two or three? Whatever day it was, like, whatever.
I got to get one.
You're like, I got to get a saddle. We were literally in a tree together. He's in his hang on and I'm in my saddle. And I think he was, you know, setting up in his hang on, which was fairly quick. You know, I can't, you know, you can't knock on his system. His hang, he was as efficient as you could possibly be with a hang on. But I literally said to him at one point, I said, Kevin, I'd have already been in that tree, you know, with the saddle and a one stick. Like I'd have already been up there hanging my bow on the hanger. And he made the comment, you're like, well, good for you, Mike, good for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm not trying to knock your system, like you're doing
the dark
great job.
And you're like
but I'm just saying, like this is how much this is the like perks of having a saddle and doing the one stick. And now I've never experienced with multiple sticks. I haven't. But when I first heard of the whole one sticking method, I was like, that is stupid. And there's no reason why you can't carry multiple sticks, or, you know, I'll just carry a climber, because I was a big climber guy for a long time. I'm all about comfort, you know?
I won't grab my climber now, like ever, you know?
I love an open face climber. Like if you can find a good spot for a climber, I'd much rather sit in it. It's so much more comfortable, but like you can't argue the fact that a saddle is more efficient, it's faster, it's lighter, and it's
every stand has its place, in my opinion.
It does. And one thing I forgot to mention about the whole saddle hunting, a lot of saddle hunters use knee pads. And I used to actually use knee pads, but to be honest with you, I never got like name brand saddle hunting knee pads. And the ones I did were like carpenter style and they were like smooth edged. And then when you go to put your knees on a tree, they just like slide. It's like, you know, screw it. I never went back to knee pads. For the most part, when I'm saddle hunting, it's a 3.5-4 hour set. And I might sit down a little bit and like hang out and relax my legs. But for the most part, I'm standing up. I got my feet on the platform. I'm standing up. I'm kind of angled. My top half, my body's angled away from the tree and I'm just hanging out, like literally just hanging out. But yeah,
I've been go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say you're going to get a saddle and you were looking at all these different brands and you're trying to figure out which one's the best. And I can't really touch on that topic because I don't even want to get into talking about brands, you know. I don't really have a super great name brand saddle. Like my saddle is my saddle. It's been what I've used for the past 3-4 years. I've killed a ton of deer out of it. And I don't even have a name brand one stick. I know like Tethered and other companies make like the Ultimate One Stick or whatever. That's not even what I use. I literally made my one stick with my hands and I've been using it for the past, this will be the fourth year. Yeah, fourth year. And you've seen it. Like I've killed a lot of deer out of that thing.
You're efficient with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're definitely efficient with it. I've been an anti-saddle dude. Not like anti, like I hate you if you use it. I was just like, oh, I don't need that. I don't need that. It's a fad. It's a trad. It's a fad. It's a trend. You know, that's what I was I was like, that's, I don't need that. And I like got up in a couple, like my buddies got them or whatever. And I'd get up in them and I'd be like, I just don't know about this bridge being right in front of me. And like, whatever. It's all an adjustment, you know? And I was like, I don't know. I just like being free in my hang on. But I don't know. I've turned a new leaf. I'm going to try it. And for several different reasons, I'm not going to sit here and dive into all of them, but mostly it appears more comfortable to me than sitting in a hang on. I don't think sitting in a hang on is very comfortable. I just think it's an effective way to hunt. And that's why I bought it. I didn't buy it really for comfort. I bought it for effectiveness. And I can get in any tree. I mean, any tree, I can make it work with the hang on. And I imagine I'll have a similar experience with the saddle. I'll just be shedding some pounds and taking weight off my back by sitting in a saddle rather than standing. Because the issue with the hang on is due to the discomfort, I end up fidgeting a lot. So I'll switch sides. I'll lean on my right shoulder against the tree, and then I'll rotate and lean on my left shoulder, and then I'll sit for a bit, which sitting really isn't that comfortable in a hang on. It's not like a climber, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just end up fidgeting a lot. And I kill a lot of deer behind me in my hang on, like leaning around the tree, almost as if you were in a saddle, you know? And it's nice when you kill a deer like that, because they don't have a clue in the world you're there, because you got the tree in between you and them. And I've killed a bunch of deer like that. And I'm just going to try the saddle thing. It's going to shed some weight for me. And I believe it will be more comfortable. So I'm going to give it a shot. Have everything in the cart right now.
I wouldn't say it's going to be more comfortable. I mean, I don't know. There might be saddles out there that are like Cadillacs that are great compared to my saddle. But I think a saddle is a saddle is a saddle, you know, and it's all kind of generally the same thing. And when you sit in it for a long period of time, you're going to start getting the pressure on your, you know, they got a little adjustments on the saddle where you can take pressure off of certain spots of your body and what this, you can shorten your bridge and all this stuff. But I think generally if when you're in there for a certain amount of time, you're like, okay, this is getting uncomfortable. And then on top of that, you got your knees up against the tree. And it's like, no matter what, you're going to somewhat find some uncomfortability in it, no matter what, whether it's a hang on or a saddle. But
the only discomfort you're going to find with a climber is tree selection and carrying the thing.
You're going to have tree selection you know issues. What I mean? And that's another topic I wanted to talk about is like, you're going to have tree selection issues even with a saddle. Like you have tree selection issues for the most part with a hang on as well. Like if a tree is in the perfect spot, okay, let's say you find a tree. It's like, okay, this is exactly where I need to be. This tree is the exact tree that I need to be in, like ideally, but it's angled. If you have a tree that's just slightly angled and it's like, I'm not slightly angled, like it's pretty angled, you know what I mean? And then every tree around it has too much brush or too much stuff, like too much stuff to cut down. We're talking public land here or something, where you can't be cutting stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. Like I've ran into that issue literally. What was it? The night that you went home Thursday, I ran into that issue on Thursday where we could not find the perfect tree to hang in. And I finally found a tree to hang in. And it was like, it wasn't ideal, you know, like shooting lanes weren't the greatest. It was a very round tree. And then on top of that, it was like angled. Like I had like a slight bend to it. So it had a high side and a low side, which just makes everything uncomfortable and awkward, especially when you have a deer coming in on your weak side. And if you're saddle hunting, you're going to have a weak side. So.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot, man. I'm going to try it. This is going to be my first year doing it. We'll see how it goes. Probably shouldn't be making the decision 3 weeks prior to the deer season, but oh well. I'll adjust quick. And so I've got a platform picked out. I've got a saddle picked out. I've got all the ropes I already have, lineman's belt, tether, and stuff from my hang-on setup. So that's all transferable. I am going to get a new pack because I need something that I can pack the platform and sticks with a bit better. And plus, I could use an update on my pack. I've had it for a really long time. And I've been looking at a few. I'm curious to hear from the listeners if there's any recommendations that you guys have for a pack for saddle hunting that's not $300. I'm all about it. Shoot me a message. Let me know what's up. I've been looking at the one I'm kind of locked in on right now is the North Mountain Gear. They make this the same company that makes the Leafy jacket. You see that I always wear. And that thing's held up great. So I think their stuff's quality. And it's $90 and it looks freaking sweet. It's got tons of storage. It's got a waist belt, which I'm a big fan of. I've had a pack with a waist belt before. My pack that I carried out west as a waist belt, and that's a game changer. Like even in the firefighting trade, your SCBA pack, what carries your air bottle, it has a waist belt. And my rule is always 80-20. So 80% tension on the waist belt, 20% tension on the shoulder straps, and it completely takes the weight off of your shoulders and puts it on your hips, which can handle weight way better than your shoulders, you know?
Yeah.
So that thing's sweet. Looking at that, I got a platform picked out. I am going to try my captain at work. He saddle hunts, and he recommended this pad instead of doing the knee pads. He said he hated the knee pads, and he bought the nice ones. And he said he had the same problem you had. His knees would slip all over the place. And he had like the $100 ones from some big name brand. And he just bought a pad that has a bungee cord on it, and you just bungee it around the tree, and then you lean your knees up against that's like soft pad.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try that.
In the past,
it's like $25.
In the past, I've used my actual pack. Like, because, like, especially when it's cold, I'll have like my extra jacket or layers and stuff shoved in my pack, and I'll put my pack.
Yeah, so it's got some cushion.
And I'll strap it around the tree, and then I'll lose my knees and use that. And that's very comfortable. You know, that's extremely comfortable situation where I could sit there for three, 4 hours with not even moving. But what I do notice is that I'll get comfortable after, you know, 20, 30 minutes, and then I'll stand up and I'll lean on one foot or I'll lean on the other foot. And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of movement that happens. And then if a deer's coming in from behind you or somewhere where you didn't expect it and they catch you moving, it's game over, you know?
Right. So,
but nonetheless, great talk about our gear, what's in our packs. So,
yeah, buddy, you got anything you want to add?
I really don't, man. I really really appreciate you having me on again. And yeah, I think that's about all I got.
No, man. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say for those that are already open, you know, that's awesome. For those who are about to open, I'm sure you're fired up. Good luck. Stay safe. Whether you're hunting out of a hang-on climber, saddle, whatever you're doing, wear your safety harness, use your appropriate equipment. If you're hunting out of a saddle, do it right. You know, whatever you're hunting out of, just do it right, man. Fall out of a tree from 18 feet, change your life. So
absolutely.
Use the appropriate equipment, take the extra steps and do it the right way. And
yeah,
stay safe, stay smart.
Yeah. And for those of you have, who haven't opened yet, shoot your freaking bow. Get yourself dialed in. Don't pull it in. Don't pull it out a week before the season opens. Get out there.
Don't be that guy.
I mean, it's already too late if you haven't shot. Like, it's already too late. 100%. Don't be that guy. But take priority in that. Take pride in your shot and make a good shot. So,
yes, sir. All right, man. Let's wrap this thing up, buddy. I appreciate everybody listening, and we will holler at you guys next week.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.